You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mades.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mades from DenverStiffs.com, the largest and best Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This episode of the show, I'm starting a new series. Kind of excited for it. I'm going to go through every episode for the next five. I'm going to go through one starter and one bench player who, and explain how they can have a breakout year. So this one, why Nikola Jokic will have a breakout year. And basically, I just mean a year, you know, why he will make an improvement over last year's performance. Obviously, not all 10 players in the Nuggets rotation are going to be able to make an improvement to their game. But this will just explain how they can do that, what kind of things need to go well, and maybe why I feel like there's a good chance of it. But before we get to all of that, a couple of quick notes here. First of all, the shirts are in from D-Line Co. If you ordered one of the home t-shirts, that's maybe my favorite design that we've done so far. D-Line knocked this one out of the park. Send me a photo on Instagram, tag at Denver Stiffs. If you want to advertise for this show, season three of this show is getting ready to start here in less than a month. As the new season begins, it'll be a new season for the show. And so I'll be looking to add a bunch of advertisers. If you are interested in that, you can email me at denverstiffs@gmail.com or lockedonnuggets@gmail.com. Either email will work. And then lastly, a cool new feature. I have a voice messaging service now set up, basically a voicemail box for you to call in. If you want to appear on the show, give me a one-minute take or less, one-minute thing that you want to talk about or opinion or that you have, and you can call in to this number, 303-578-9393. That's 303-578-9393. You can call, leave a one-minute message, and I'll play it on this show, and I'll respond to whatever you have. So kind of a cool way for us to interact. I'll probably save these for the end of the week, but go ahead and start sending those in. I think it'll be a cool new segment. So let's get into it. Why will Nikola Jokic have a breakout year? And breakout, especially when we're talking about Nikola Jokic, he's already broken out. Although it should be noted that with Jokic, I feel like both in 2016 and 17, there was moments where, you know, you can kind of chop the season in half. In 2 years ago, December 15th was the big date. After that, it felt like Jokic was Jokic. This last season, it really wasn't until January 22nd that Jokic kind of started coming into his own. So there is at least a sense in which we haven't seen the very best of him. So maybe a breakout would mean, you know, an entire season's worth of him playing up to his potential, the best that we've seen. But it could also mean that, you know, he has other levels to get to, that he can be a better player in this next season all around than ever before. Obviously, with young players, I think that's a given anyway. But I think there's a couple specific reasons why I think Jokic, you know, could have a whole nother leap in him and take his game to a whole other level. The first one, if you just look at the stats in the second half of the year, really from that, I referenced already that January 22nd date, post that, Jokic played in 36 games, started in 34, came off the bench for two, coming back from injury, I believe. Actually, no, he started at that point, he started all 36 games. 34.2 minutes per game, which is kind of a lot. I think Jokic probably will play 34 minutes now consistently for the entire season and maybe for the next several years. He played 32.5, but that extra minute and a half, I would expect him to be a 34-minute-per-game player right from the get-go. And he averaged 21 points, 11 rebounds, 7.3 assists. That's an absolutely absurd stat line. And even more absurd, he shot 52% from the field, 46% from three, and 84% from the free-throw line. But here's why I think he'll start. You know, I think that second half is more indicative of what he's going to put up this next season for a couple of different reasons. One, Jokic scored in single figures 14 times last year. Six of those came in the first 16 games. So you think about, and that's basically the first 16 games, Paul Millsap got hurt on the 16th game. So the first 16 games, Jokic did have some big scoring nights. There were some nights where, you know, he obviously had that 41-point night. But six games in single figures, I think those first 16 games were largely defined by Jokic, you know, ceding a lot of control of the offense to Paul Millsap into being a not very aggressive player. Clearly, it took some time to work through those. So, of the 14 games where he scored in single figures, six came in the first 16 games. Three other games came in the first four that Millsap returned from injury. So, so basically, nine of the 16 times Jokic scored in single figures last year came within the first, you could say, 20 games of him and Millsap sharing the court together. That's a pretty large size. And another one of those came when Jokic got injured against Chicago. So basically there's only five other games. If you cut out those ones I just told you, there's only five other times he scored in single figures. So those are much more of the outlier than anything else. I think he'll have maybe, I'd be surprised if he had more than five or six single figure games next season. I think he'll be a double digit scorer in almost every single game. I don't think we'll have games like that Sacramento game where he didn't score any points. If you remember the second or third game of the season, he went scoreless. So I don't think it'll be like that, because I think that adjustment period is behind them. And I think that second half, Jokic will be a lot more in line with what he's going to be. The second reason, he's got better playmakers around him. It's been high profile now that Will Barton is moving into the starting lineup. I think Will Barton might be the best playmaker, besides Jokic, the best playmaker in the starting lineup. So last year, you had Wilson Chandler there, who wasn't really creating a lot of easy shots for Jokic and wasn't knocking down a lot of Jokic's kickouts at a high rate. Barton will shoot a better percentage almost certainly than Wilson Chandler. But I think he'll also be a better just pick-and-roll player. The offensive continuity will be better. Jamal Murray, certain to be improved in every aspect on offense. And I think even Gary Harris, at some point he's not going to be improving in the off seasons. But so, you know, every off season he's come back with a new piece of his game. So just having those three guys there, I think alone, is going to help Jokic's game so much. I think he's going to get some of the easiest shots of his career, and I think there's going to be a lot of nights where the ball is popping. If you look at Jokic's season average per 100 possessions, with those three guys in the lineup, Barton, Murray, and Harris, when he shared the court with him, he actually scored a point and a half more per 100 possessions, grabbed 2.5 more rebounds, or I'm sorry, 2.5 more assists, and basically had the same rebound output. So his stats, in short, his stats improved on the season when he shared the court with those three guys. And then if you add Paul Millsap, it was a really small sample size, but his numbers were just absolutely through the roof. So I think there's a real case to be made that Jokic is going to be in the best, by far the best situation for him personally, not just for the Nuggets, but for Jokic specifically to rack up stats. I think that starting lineup will be as good of a lineup as he's seen in terms of being able to accumulate stats. The third reason I think Jokic could have a breakout season is because of the return of Juancho Hernan Gomez. You know, I like Juancho. It really pains me that he missed the entire season last year, because there's this giant question mark with him, and I think a big question mark. I'm going to talk about him a lot later on. A big question mark about just what's it going to take for him to prove that he should be in the rotation. A lot of worthy guys. But he's the most interesting question mark this year. Juancho is one of the most Jokic ball players on the team. I've talked to him about him as a taller Gary Harris. He's a very good cutter, obviously a great spot-up shooter. He just knows how to move into open space. He knows how to keep the proper spacing. This is a concept that is so central to how I think about basketball. I've said that I relate a lot to Nikola Jokic's style of play. A lot of times will consider me a passive player the first couple times I play with him. But for me, a lot of the game is just about understanding the ball is over here. You have to understand the cutting angles and the spacing angles to make sure that the player with the ball has as good of an opportunity to have a one-on-one situation. Basically, you want to put your own defender. Your own defender is always in some sort of help side defense of some type. You always want to make it so that they have to pick a poison. And Juancho Hernan Gomez is a guy that's really, really good at that. Him and Gary Harris, I think, two of the best. Will Barton way up there as well at just understanding that type of spacing. So there's a reason when Juancho plays with Jokic that the offensive numbers, especially 2 years ago, would go through the roof. I think there's a reason the Nuggets were on fire. I just rewatched today NBA TV had that Nuggets marathon going. I just watched that Golden State win in 2016, which is to this day one of the most fun wins I think in Nuggets history. But And Wancho played in that game and was just lights out. But I don't think it was a coincidence. Obviously, he was on fire more so than usual. But I think that he's the type of guy that is always going to be open when playing alongside Nikola Jokic. Now, Wancho's a question mark because he might not play at all, so it's not a given that he'll actually even be in the rotation. But I have a hunch, at least at this moment, I want to see how camp goes. I want to see how the preseason goes. But I have a hunch that Wancho might be a guy that actually surprises people and breaks into the rotation, maybe even starts in the rotation at the small forward position. A little bit more on him here in a little bit. Reason number four, the addition of Isaiah Thomas. He is a guy that can run the pick and roll, and I think – you know, I always talk about what a threat Jokic is, especially in the short role. I think he's one of the best, if not the best, short role playmaker in the entire NBA. Guys like Draymond Green, even LeBron James. LeBron never plays that. I mean, he would obviously be number one if he ran it more, but he never does it. There's guys around the league, Blake Griffin, that are good at making plays there. I think Jokic is the best. He's such a quick decision maker with his passing, and then he has as good a shot as anybody in the league from the center part of the court, basically from the free throw, basically in the box, the free throw line, all the way down to the blocks. He just has such great touch in that zone. But now he'll have a guy that I think, and in fact, I think he'll have two guys. I think Jamal Murray this offseason, and really the improvement he made over the last couple of months of the season. I think he's going to have two guys that are just much, much better at getting him the ball in the pick and roll. And then obviously he'll play more minutes with Will Barton, who is also very good at this skill. But Isaiah Thomas in particular, you know, you swap Moutier with Isaiah Thomas. You swap Devin Harris, who never really ran pick and roll anyway, not a lot of pick and roll. In fact, he had a nice synergy with Mason Plumlee. I think they had maybe a half dozen alley-oops. But there wasn't a lot. He wasn't exactly a guy you clear out and run spread pick and roll for. Isaiah Thomas, you will. And Isaiah Thomas is a guy that's elite, or I think even if his hip injury lingers into the season and he's never 100%, he's a guy that's very good at coming off of the screen and taking one dribble and then hitting the pull-up mid-range jumper at the free throw line. And that offense obviously is not something you're going to target time in and time out, but he's good enough that defenses can't just give that to him. They can't just say, oh, we're going to live with that the way they would with Moutier. I mean, think about how many of those fall-away shots Moutier had in that zone, and he never converted at a high enough rate. Isaiah Thomas is a guy that will convert those. If a team comes up with the strategy of, you know, Jokic is too deadly in the pick and roll, so we're just going to go deep under every screen and dare them to shoot mid-range, Isaiah Thomas will sniff that out and just start knocking down mid-range jumpers, hit three or four in a row, basically set free throw shots wide open, and he'll really punish guys. He's also pretty good at hitting the guy on the roll. He's a lot more like Jameer Nelson in that way, and that he's very good at finding angles. If a team traps, basically a team is going to have a couple of different options. If they switch, and a lot of teams, especially in the playoffs, are going to want to switch. If they try to switch Isaiah Thomas and Nikola Jokic's guy, Isaiah Thomas is one of the best players in the NBA at taking big guys off of the dribble. So that option already is a really, really tough one, because Isaiah Thomas is just way too quick and way too crafty for those big players. And statistically, he's been one of the best at doing that. Nikola Jokic, on the other hand, one of the best at posting up undersized guys. So I don't think the switch option, teams will do it from time to time, but I don't think it's going to be their number one option defensively coming into games. Oh, we're just going to switch that screen, because I think Denver would do a great job of exploiting that. They could try to hedge and just play it straight up, but that's where Denver's at their best. When you hedge and you jump out like that, you're basically making a bet that your help side defense can scramble long enough to kind of recover. Well, Denver, when the ball really gets popping, once the team is out of position on the first action, Denver's just so good at passing it, whether it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 passes, whatever it takes to make that scramble turn into an open shot. So I think that option is very good for Denver. They could try to both go under, as I mentioned, and leave Isaiah Thomas, but I think Thomas will knock down those shots. I think Jamal Murray will knock down those shots. Or they can try to double the ball and leave Jokic open. And Murray still has to improve. I think he was extra gun shy not to turn it over, and so he was not, especially early on in the season before that January 22nd date, and really after Millsap returned as well. He just was very gun shy with making that pass. There were flashes in that February stretch when Denver's offense was really humming. There were stretches where Jamal Murray was doing a great job of making that pass there. So I sense there's a certain amount of the less plays you call, the more players are able to just kind of react and aren't worried about, oh, I can't turn it over if I try to go off script. And I think Jamal Murray thrived in that. But Isaiah Thomas is a guy that's been around long enough. He's very, very good at that. So I just think all of those things will help to lead to Jokic getting more shots at the rim, more shots in the painted area, and more opportunities to play make in a 4-on-3 situation. And the more you can give him those opportunities, those are like throwing a slow pitch right down the pipe in baseball for a home run hitter. He's going to knock those ones out of the park. Last one here. He's the team's, and this is the most important one, he's the team's cleared number one player this season. He's the highest paid. He's the best. He's the fulcrum. He's offensively, I think, the guy everybody looks to. He's the pivot point. And that wasn't the case last year. As crazy as that is, it was not the case, at least with that kind of certainty. I think if you polled all of the Nuggets players last year about, you know, where's the offense going to flow through, who's the guy, I think you would have gotten mixed results. I think next year coming into camp, 19 guys coming into camp, I think 18 of them are going to say Nikola Jokic is the focal point of our offense. I think Jokic might be the only guy who doesn't say that. But with that kind of clarity and with him being the highest paid and just having that pressure, not pressure to perform well, but just pressure to go out there and play hard and to be assertive, I think is going to make a huge, huge difference for him. And that's why I think those second half numbers, that 21 points, 11.5 rebounds, 7.5 assists, I think that there's a great chance that that could be his average next year. And I think the shooting numbers as well, getting up into the 40%. You know, Jokic is such a rhythm shooter. He's not a guy that you can say, hey, we want you to take this type of shot. He's more of a guy that he just reads when to shoot because he knows what's a good shot, you know, kind of feels the game. And when the ball is popping like it was in February, he's shooting 45-50% from the three-point line because all of his shots are in rhythm. It's within the flow of basketball. When you're asking him to space the floor and, hey, this isn't a good shot, but we need you to knock down one or two to keep the defense honest, you know, then I think his percentages drop a little bit. So all of those things come together for Jok, I think, this season. And I think a lot of people ask me, you know, who's going to be the breakout player? And there's candidates out there. Jamal Murray, you know, Trey Lyles, Juancho Hernangómez, all those guys are good. But I actually think Jokic is a guy that has another level that we've seen in flashes, but not the whole year. And if we see it the whole year, some of the numbers are going to be absolutely silly. I mean, if a guy averages 21 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists for a season, odds are that there's going to be a lot of triple-doubles in there. There's going to be a lot of 16-rebound games. There's going to be a lot of 35, 40-point games. Not a lot, but a handful of 35, 40-point games from Jok in there. A handful of 12, 13 assist games in there. So I think it's absolutely within the realm of possibility. The things that can derail it, number one would be Jok, for whatever reason, coming out passive. I don't suspect that will happen. A lot of people put the blame on Malone for, you know, oh, December 15th should have happened a lot sooner, January 22nd should have happened a lot sooner. And I think there is, first of all, some truth to that. But what gets overlooked in all of that is that the players are the ones that play. And we all saw Jokic, especially this last year in the first month of the season, look mopey and just uninterested or unaggressive, unassertive. And so there is a bit of chicken and egg factor there, I think, between, you know, some of the rotations and stuff the coaching staff went with and just how assertive Jokic is. But again, I think those days are behind us, but we can never say that until we actually see the Nuggets get off to a hot start. Isaiah Thomas being a really bad fit, or injured, you know, those things could certainly derail it. Denver not having options off of the bench, if Trey Lyles regresses, if Juancho Hernangómez is not a player, Malik Beasley not a player, Torrey Craig not a player, those things obviously could hinder it. But outside of that, I just don't see. I think that it's pretty safe to say that Jokic will statistically and in impact have at least as good of a season as he had last year, with a very, very good chance of him having a better one. I'm very excited for him. Hernangómez and why he will have a breakout year. I think with him, obviously, it's much less certain. I mean, it's possible he just won't play at all. But, you know, I mentioned earlier he's an elite fit with Jokic, and that is a big piece of it. I think he's more equipped to play the small forward position than either Jared Vanderbilt or Trey Lyles. Vanderbilt, you know, who knows? Coming off of an injury and being a rookie, it would take so much for him to break into the rotation that I think he's a guy that will almost certainly not play early on very much, but maybe not doesn't play the entire year very much. Trey Lyles is a bigger bodied guy. And if I had to pick one of those two guys to play some small forward minutes, it would be Juancho Hernangómez. And the reason I think that's important is, you know, power forward, there's some options. There's obviously Paul Millsap's going to start. I think Mason Plumlee is going to play a lot of power forward alongside Nikola Jokic, and Trey Lyles is going to play. Those are the three guys. So there's three players ahead with Vanderbilt, you know, maybe Michael Porter Jr. if he gets healthy that can slide down there. Whereas at the small forward position, there's really no clear-cut option. Even Will Barton, you know, not a true small forward. He's clearly the starter, and he's going to play a lot of minutes. But there could be a scenario in which and where – you know, if Juancho plays well, he can sneak into 15 to 20 minutes at small forward, not even at power forward, but just at small forward, both as a backup behind Barton and also sometimes sliding Barton over to shooting guard and playing Juancho there. I don't think that is probably option number one at this very point as the coaching staff is meeting and kind of thinking about these things. I don't think that's where their head is at the moment, but it's certainly within the possibility for Juancho to do that. And I think he has a better leg up than Vanderbilt or Lyles, at least at the small forward position. I think he's a great fit with the trio. Well, he would make a good third wheel of the Isaiah Thomas, Nikola Jokic pick and roll. And also, to even a more extent, the Isaiah Thomas, Mason Plumlee pick and roll. I think Plumlee will be a good partner, by the way, with Isaiah Thomas. I'll probably talk about this in both of their sections. But a rim roller that can finish above the rim and sets hard screens, that's a really – Isaiah Thomas is so good with that. In fact, he was really good, I believe, last year on the court with Aaron Baines. Was it Aaron Baines? I'll have to look. But there was a couple. Some of your less skilled, but just more, you know, above the rim finishers. When he was in Boston, those were the best combos for Isaiah Thomas. But when you play that style, it's much more of a not stagnant, but it is much more of a spread pick and roll where you have the 1-5 in the pick and roll, and then you have three guys spot up. Well, I think Juancho Hernangómez can absolutely be an elite spot-up guy for the reasons I mentioned. In 2016-17, in 425 possession sample size with Jameer Nelson, Nikola Jokic, and Juancho Hernangómez, the Nuggets had a 124.5 offensive rating. That's a good sample size. I would call that a medium-sized sample size. Jameer, Jokic, Juancho, 124.5 offensive rating. That's insane. There's no way that's sustainable over like 1,000 minutes, but even if he had a bad next 500 minutes there, he'd still probably be somewhere around 118. So I think that trio, there's a blueprint for that trio that has worked, and I think Isaiah Thomas and Jokic, Isaiah Thomas and Plumlee will both have similar dynamics there. So I think Juancho can be a guy that's really, really good there. He's incredibly well rested. I mean, that's another thing. You know, he's a guy that the gap year, there might be something to this. You know, you miss a year early in your career and it can be a great thing for your development. Michael Jordan missed basically his entire sophomore season. But we've seen with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and Blake Griffin, we've talked about this a lot with Michael Porter Jr. and Jared Vanderbilt, but sometimes missing a season and just being an observer of the game, you pick up things sometimes a little bit better when you're not involved with them, when you just get to sit back and watch. So maybe there's a leap to be made from there. And then lastly, and this is the biggest point, I think Juancho's actually good. And you know, I've been going back into some of the video with him and trying to watch and see what it was we were so excited about after his rookie season. And the truth is, I just think he's an actual good basketball player. I think some of the skills that he has translate really, really well. He's not the kind of guy that I imagine is very good in a pickup game or a pro-am or something like that. And sometimes I think guys get docked too unfairly for this. I imagine Malik Beasley is the type of guy that looks great in those, you know, the less rules, the less offense, the less, you know, structured it is. Yeah, he's going to look good because he's an attacker and he's athletic and this and that. Whereas Juancho is going to, you know, he can spot up off ball or cut or do all this stuff right. But if it's an unstructured game and guys haven't played with each other, that stuff doesn't really matter. What matters is that crossover step back or getting to the rim off of a quick first step, those types of things. So I can see how maybe he's been unimpressive in practice time after coming back from mono last season, and that's part of why he missed. But I think he's an actual good basketball player with good when he's playing alongside other really good basketball players, and in particular players like Nikola Jokic, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Jamal Murray, guys, Paul Millsap, guys that are unselfish. I think he'll fit very, very seamlessly in there. So I'm rooting for it. The biggest thing for me, so now for some of the things that could not work out in his favor, if he's unable to guard, to defend, I mean, Denver is going to be searching for defenders. If you can guard your position, especially that's out on the wing, you're going to get a lot of minutes. And so when you talk about Isaiah Thomas, Nikola Jokic, yeah, Wancho fits great on the offensive end, but Isaiah Thomas and Jokic are going to get attacked a lot. If you play them against second units, I don't think that there's going to be a ton of teams that have second unit type playmakers that can really exploit that enough to match whatever Denver's going to do on the other end. But you're still going to need to put some defenders around them, and Wancho's not the kind of guy you say, okay, Wancho will really shore up the defense with that unit. So if he can't defend, that's going to be a big thing. And then, again, if he can only play power forward, that means he's going to have to pass up more guys. If he can play some small forward, then he'll get into the rotation. But there's a chance he just is unable to do that. But the biggest obstacle I see for him, you know, he doesn't seem to me like a Malone guy, especially at that position. I have a feeling one of the things that'll be interesting to see is how Malone handles that second unit and how much emphasis he puts in that second unit on guys like Wancho, who space the floor offensively, versus guys who maybe provide a lot more defense but a lot less offense. And, you know, Torrey Craig is obviously a guy in that department, maybe even Jared Vanderbilt. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles that small forward rotation. But Wancho's a guy that really could shore up a lot for the Nuggets. If Michael Porter Jr. is unable to play this year and he's just not in the rotation, I think Wancho can really shore up a lot of that backup small forward position for the Nuggets. Hope you guys enjoyed this format and this idea of the show. Again, I'm going to do this for the 10, one starter in the first two segments of the show and then one bench player at the end. And I think it'll be a cool way. And again, obviously not all of those guys will be able to show improvement, but I'll at least give the case for why it's possible and some of the things brewing. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. Be back again soon with another episode.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.